Calling for November 1st, 2016. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenflaw, and I'm running for Congress.
Nice. We're just a couple of guys sitting around running for Congress and looking at some things, and the math just doesn't add up, does it?
I just want to say that I'm a good, honest person.
That's right. Vote
for me.
We need more commercials. That's what we need. There's not enough political commercials on TV.
Don't throw your vote away.
Don't blame me. I voted for Kodos. Yeah, presidential election time is coming up next Tuesday, November 8th. So make sure that you are getting in line now. And
you know, you can't vote enough. Out. We're here in Illinois. You can't vote enough.
Vote early, vote often. I voted early. I'm not going to vote often, but I did vote early. I'm done.
Show up again tomorrow.
Punched out. But you can make sure that you're watching all those political ads and being ready for the political election.
Can't get enough political ads because obviously they change everyone's mind.
That's right. So to get away from all the politics, let's go to the movies. You and I, for our film at 11 this week, we went out to the movie theater and we saw The Carnival of Souls, the 1962 colorized classic.
Yeah, it wasn't a classic.
It's not a classic.
It wasn't a classic. This is a really bad film. This is the worst Twilight Zone film you could ever imagine.
And thank goodness we had the Riff Tracks guys there to explain some of it to us, to make fun of it for us, to riff on this movie. It made it a little bit enjoyable at least. But boy, is that is a bad movie.
This movie is awful.
Yeah.
In fact, it starts off with these three young ladies in a car and these three boys in a car, and they're flirting with each other, which immediately, as I remember from my youth, we go drag racing at that point.
Well, it was 62. They did different things back then.
Go over a bridge and
the really slowly.
And then the ladies dropped off, and anyway, only one emerged.
Uh-huh.
And there our story begins, because it takes place in Kansas. But why it was so crazy is she immediately says, you know, I'm going to take that job in Utah.
The organist job at the church in Utah.
And she heads off to Utah, mm-hmm. and as she's driving, she sees like an amusement park to her left.
Really poorly lit.
She goes to work at the church, goes on a date with a swarmy crazy guy.
Right.
Decides that she doesn't really like him, and anyway, at that point...
And there's ghouls that are haunting her this whole time.
Oh, and at that point...
Every once in a while.
She's drawn to the carnival...
Happens to be the director of the movie was the main ghoul.
Was he?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm sorry. I forgot to mention she went to the psychiatrist.
Because no, the psychiatrist found her in the park. She's in the middle of a psychotic episode.
And because she had to go buy a dress.
Right.
Now if this sounds crazy.
It is.
The whole point of this is at the end, because I'm going to go ahead and give it away, is she was dead at the beginning.
I see dead people.
And the point... of that is the worst Twilight Zone film. It was
yes.
like, I don't know, an old EC comic, but it was awful. This would be like Steve and I just taking YouTube and going to make a film and writing along the way.
Just having a woman walking around a dilapidated thing that sort of kind of looks like a carnival, having these ghouls occasionally show up and not say anything or do anything.
Well, anyway, there's they picked her up as far as when she's recognized she was dead from the sand. We saw the sand prints in the sand,
mm-hmm.
because the police officer and the priest, they saw where it ended.
Right.
But then we found out she was all
she's
this time,
dead the whole
she's
time.
She's back in Kansas. So what was the whole point of going to Utah? What was the the job? Why are we... All right, so let's make it real fun. We ran into... because it actually was a packed audience there.
It was.
We had Michael Albright and his fiance there.
Yes.
And they were from down in front. And they were they joined us. Mm-hmm. And we had a really nice conversation at the end.
We had a fun time.
By the way, down in front is having... Space Jam is in November.
Yes, the 20th anniversary of Space Jam. So you can go to Down in Front, live riffing of Space Jam for the 20th anniversary of that movie.
Well, obviously they've written a lot of fun things about it. But at the end, we were all just shaking our head. The enjoyment of the night wasn't the two shorts, the witch who learned to bathe.
Right.
It was actually another grass.
Another grasses short. The Riff Tracks guys love these shorts. I love watching them for those
who
shorts.
Have, for those of those us who never watched those, these are from the 60s.
These are educational films.
And it is
somehow.
And as we learned that grass is everywhere all over the world.
That's right.
And we've got kids walking, wandering around
shirtless, wearing masks made of grass.
They're cutting grass and they're going to make this grass into masks. And anyway, it was awful, but it was much more entertaining than Carnival of Souls.
Yeah, Carnival of Souls is a bad movie. I love it when the guys do their shorts. They could do just shorts, and that would be just fine with me. In fact, that's part of what they're going to do for their Christmas event from Fathom Events in theaters. They're going to be doing the Santa Claus versus the Martians, and then their shorts spectacular.
And Steve and I, of course, have been so busy watching the Cubs. And the Indians play their World Series. We really haven't had a chance to see anything else.
That's all I watched was Carnival of Souls.
But what are you going to watch this Friday?
Opening this week, we've got Doctor Strange, the Marvel comic turned into a movie with Benedict Cumberbatch and his cape.
There you go. He's not going to be playing Khan. He's going to be playing Dr. Stephen Strange.
He has such a range. I have very high expectations for Doctor Strange. I think this is going to be a great movie.
This is not Sherlock.
No, but
he'll be a doctor.
The mysteries that he is uncovering and solving are in there. Doctor Strange is an interesting character.
So this is getting to the magic area of the Marvel Universe. This character was created back in the 60s by Steve Ditko.
While he was not watching the Carnival of Souls, probably.
No. Steve was a unique type of guy.
He still is.
Yes, he is. He created this with Stan Lee. This while he was working with Stan Lee on Spider-Man, which he basically plotted and put together the stories. He got partial credit for that. Really, when you get down to Doctor Strange, really was his creation. Steve Ditko, who created Doctor Strange, was a very square guy. He basically started reading Ayn Rand around that time. Objectivism became really big. And he got in a lot of arguments with Stan Lee over probably over payment, credit, and all sorts of a number of things.
So he eventually left Marvel.
He did. He created the Question and the Creeper and all those other characters he did. But there is a program that came out a few years ago on BBC called In Search of Steve Ditko. And if you search the web, you may be able to find how to watch it. But Ditko is very much a hermit. I think he lives in New York City. The whole program was interviews of people trying to find him, and at the end they did find him, and they tried to interview him, but he wouldn't meet him on camera. So this is a nice little piece to learn a little bit about Ditko, who created he was second to Kirby, I would say, as far as the creative group that created the Marvel Universe. So this should be a fun little story as far as watching Stephen Strange. And once again, there's other places you can go to learn about either his characters or learn about his life. And he's a fascinating character.
And Steve Ditko is celebrating his 89th birthday tomorrow. So he's still around, still being a hermit. And people are still in search of him. Hopefully he'll get a chance to see this movie. And hopefully he's proud of what they've done.
Steve, if you were going to do some product placement to tell people about Doctor Strange coming out, is there a place that would be probably the place you would choose to put that product placement?
Well, the Disney Corporation is huge, and they have so many properties, and they have so many ways to share information. They own ABC, and they've decided to add a piece to their General Hospital soap opera in which two of the characters discuss how their plans for going to see Doctor Strange.
Well, you know, Doctor Strange is coming on the theaters pretty soon.
And I won't go without you.
And of course, she grabs him and kisses him when he says that.
Because that's the most romantic thing he's thought of in 25 years.
You know, if I can't see it with you, I won't see it with anyone.
This is so bizarre. I'm so glad you found this. It's in our show notes. You can go to our show notes. It's General Hospital. Very strange product placement. I'm surprised.
About Doctor Strange.
I'm surprised they didn't say, and we'll bring some Coke and some Doritos with us. Amazing that we've gotten to that point in advertising.
For some reason, if you are like the General Hospital people and you've seen Doctor Strange, let's just say, and you wanted to see another film, what other films are coming out this week?
It should be a big time for movies, so we've got some big time movies coming out. The Trolls movie. Everybody is all excited about the Trolls movie. This is a DreamWorks animated film. It's got a huge cast. Everybody that you can think of.
Justin Timberlake.
Okay.
Anna Kendricks.
Okay, you've got my money. I will see this movie.
This is
maybe
unique,
not in the theater, though.
This is unique because we were thinking, oh, this movie should have been released in the spring, but you found out it was supposed to be released in 2015.
Yeah, this was slated for release in June of 2015, and it was pushed back by a year and a half for its release date this weekend. So I don't know the background story of it, whether it was a story problem or an animation problem. Something about this movie made it so that we heard about this years ago, it seems.
Well, and it didn't. It's not picked up for, you know, the holiday season. It certainly wasn't thrown in December. So, you know,
or even the November Thanksgiving season. This is beginning of November.
Well, anyway. All right. So, if we wanted to see maybe a Heather Graham film,
You can show me a Heather Graham film anytime you want. Let's go watch Boogie Nights again. This one's called My Dead Boyfriend. It features Heather Graham, who discovers that her boyfriend, who's normally sleeping on the couch, is dead instead.
The couch potato
is now a couch corpse.
He never gets up from there. He's always there.
That's
maybe there was a reason for that.
Welcome to the 21st century, where you're not sure if your boyfriend is alive or dead. Strange concept.
You want a little history this week? You can watch a movie called Loving.
Loving is the story of Richard and Mildred Loving, an interracial couple. They went to prison in Virginia in 1958 because they got married and they were interracial.
Isn't that interesting?
Amazing times. So, amazing times.
Think of how far we've changed
in
from that.
50 years. In exactly. Under 50 years. In a generation, we have changed from no to yes to everything, which probably isn't the best idea either.
Well, this certainly had no real merit to be held on as long as it did. So be it. This looks like an interesting story, a little piece of history. Yeah. If you were on Netflix this week, what would we watch?
You got a couple of documentaries. The first one is called The Ivory Game. This is the story about all the ivory and how we've changed our ways with poachers taking the ivory tusks from the elephants.
Well, we've got so many of these animals that are dying. The land is also being used, so they're where they could roam and things like that have changed dramatically. This is a story about basically looking at the poachers, And maybe some of the things that they're doing to try to convince people not to go out and hunt these animals. Obviously, they need resources to do it. So there's always a story. In fact, think of that dentist. Was it earlier this year? The dentist who went out and hunted down some animal. He may have had to shut down his practice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it certainly does not look well for today's society.
Right.
Teddy Roosevelt's manly man has changed quite a bit in 100 years.
That's right. Harry Benson's got a documentary. He is a photographer who's made so many wonderful photographs of so many stars and famous faces. Harry Benson Shoot First is a documentary that's coming out this week.
Sure, and it's going to go over the life of this gentleman and in some of his works, Muhammad Ali, the Beatles, Michael Jackson, a lot of people that you know, many of the famous photographs that you associate with these people. He took them We're going to learn a little bit about his life. That looks interesting, too.
The big movie this week, I think, is called Hacksaw Ridge. This is a not a documentary, but a true story of a soldier who was a conscientious objector and went into battle at the Battle of Okinawa and did such heroic things that he was the first American in history to be awarded the Medal of Honor for valor.
This is a film directed by Mel Gibson. So Mel Gibson really gets battle themes real well. Mm-hmm. This looks very interesting. It stars Spider-Man, of course.
Andrew Garfield.
Of course.
That's right.
And I do think that this certainly will not do as well as Doctor Strange, but this may be the one that has legs. I mean, this looks like a very interesting story.
Those historic dramas like this, especially war dramas, do go on to be long-range sort of films. This is one that I think we're going to hear about for a long time.
All right.
Brings us to our book. At our book of the week, speaking of things I've been talking about for a long time, I've been talking about Twin Peaks for 25 years.
Twin Peaks. And we got the Julie Cruise music playing on background.
Julie Cruise. I own every Julie Cruise album that I'm aware of because I love that.
How many
creepy,
does she have?
There's probably four or five albums that I own.
I think I have two.
I love that creepy sound of that music. Twin Peaks is so perfect for that Halloween season that we just got through. I love the adventure of the mystery of this. And that's why I picked up this book that came out this week called The Secret History of Twin Peaks. This is written by Mark Frost, the guy who made Twin Peaks along with David Lynch. They are the two creators of that show.
All right. And so next spring, there's going to be a new season of Twin Peaks.
Yep. Season 3.
So how does this fit into the series that will be coming up in spring?
And that's the great part. We don't know. I have really high expectations.
You're watching Twin Peaks. You never know.
You never know. And I have really high expectations that the story that Mark Frost has given us in this book, which is a scrapbook, it's a group of information, a group of documents that have been culled together by a mysterious investigator. I hope that this story is going to lead us that new series.
So why should somebody look at it? What drew you to it if you don't have a cohesive story?
There is a story that comes together as a result. This is an investigator, an FBI agent, who is looking at this dossier of this history of this area, stretching back from the prehistoric era when we find cave paintings and all of the mysteries of the land and all the stories involved with the native peoples and all the UFO question marks that exist in the area of Twin Peaks, and leads us to who is this mystery investigator who put this dossier together and that the FBI found. The story that we're going to get out of this data is the story, I hope, of the new series in April.
Okay. So this may be in April, when you watch the series, having all this knowledge from the background will help put together the connections you're looking for.
Kind of like when I read the comic books for a movie that's coming out. That is knowledge that isn't necessary for enjoying the final product, but it's certainly background that helps us to see a little bit extra. And there's always something extra in Mark Frost's work.
Well, in Twin Peaks. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
There's so many extras. You could watch Twin Peaks again and see something you never saw before.
How many seasons was Twin Peaks?
This is the third season that's coming out in 2017. There were only two.
And then they said 25 years later, we'll put out the third.
That's right.
Oh my goodness.
And they are doing it. It's all filmed. They filmed everything for the 2017, and they just need to get it produced so that it can be ready for us.
And awesome.
I'm ready. I'm going to have Twin Peaks parties. I haven't had a Twin Peaks party in 25 years. I'm ready. Brings us to our appetite or app of the week. And, you know, this week, it was Halloween over the weekend, and all the creepy things that happen. Google has given us another gift. Thank you, Google. Here's some information about me so that you can share it with your advertisers. Google has opened up something called Google Spotlight Stories.
And the way this worked initially was, is it Knox Labs, that you had to order your kit from Knox Labs to get your
Google Cardboard. Yeah, this is a
And you got Marge.
I got the Marge, yeah. I did go to my KnoxLabs.com and I did order my free Google Cardboard to add to my collection of Google Cardboard. But obviously, you could use any Google Cardboard for this.
I got Homer.
You did?
I did.
Excellent.
I had ordered it and it came in and I had not downloaded the app. We had ordered we used the virtual reality apps that Google had at the time, but mm-hmm. they've just released the reason why we got these special ones, right?
Yeah, this is a storytelling kind of app. We are in the infancy of virtual reality and augmented reality, and the questions, one of the big questions, is whether or not we can use this for storytelling. Are you going to sit through a two-hour virtual reality movie, and what would that look like? They're not at the two-hour stage yet. They're still at the shorts, and the first one that they released with these particular Google Cardboard is the Simpsons couch gag from the 600th episode, the Halloween episode for this year, the Treehouse mm-hmm. of Horror 27.
And so what we ended up getting is a sort of a Planet of the Apes sort of
satire, parody
with couches,
right? The Planet of the Couches, and it's in full virtual reality, full Pi R Squaridian. You've got all sorts of things to look at, and the way that this works is so much different from other things that we've seen.
All right, so you put the virtual reality kit over your eyes, mm-hmm. and you can look 360 degrees. You can look up.
So pi r squaridian, not even 360.
Yeah. You can look down.
Yeah, and there's something there.
You look down, you see a poster.
Right.
You look up, you've got Michelangelo right there.
Right.
Then you look around, and as you turn to the scenes, it cues.
The action begins.
Correct. So if I turn left and you turn right, we may get a different order as far as the storytelling.
Different experience. You are in charge of this experience. And that's where the infancy really, we are looking at how we can use this to tell stories.
Mm-hmm. And so think of Hardcore Henry that came out earlier this year, which was, it looked like a video game mm-hmm. that you were the starring character. You could see this virtual reality taking place and a story, and we all go on this adventure together, and we all could be characters together.
Right.
So there's a lot to play there, and obviously The Simpsons is a good place to kind of get our feet wet.
Yeah, animation's a great place to start with this stuff, because getting the actors to do all of these actions would be very difficult.
This is going to be Avatar, I promise you.
There you go. There you go. We're all just sitting in our morph suits and just...
Steve will be a blue cat person. Yep. I'll be a blue cat person. We'll all be blue cat people.
It's a good start. It's called Google Spotlight Stories. You can download it. You can find it in our show notes. Get out your Google Cardboard, whether it's a Star Wars one or a Simpsons one. Boy, the pop culture really keeps hitting the Google Cardboard, huh?
Well, they're trying to grab stuff that obviously has interest. Mm-hmm. And this is just the beginning, because from here you go buy your own virtual reality.
Your whole rig.
Yeah, you get the whole big thing.
The whole thing with a chair and a treadmill. I'm ready. Let's do it. Let's go to the news first. The Apple Corporation gave us a new gift this week. They showed us all their new stuff that they want me to buy for Christmas.
And they basically said, hey, let's take some computers and let's make them more expensive and get rid of the cheap ones.
That's right. They rolled out three new MacBook Pros. They are fantastic. They are super computers. They are i7 chips, which are overkill for most people's computing needs. Mm-hmm. And they're really expensive.
Yeah, they moved the price point from about $1,200 up to $1,500.
That's for the lowest quality one.
That's correct. Yeah. And then the expensive ones are always out there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, initially I was kind of shocked at this, but as we were talking this out, they still have the Air, the MacBook Airs.
The MacBook Air is still available, and that is the mid-range.
And that's exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
In fact, that there you go. For most of us, these MacBook Airs, or even maybe a tablet, mm-hmm. will work out real well for us. But as you move up and your computing needs get better, mm-hmm. these are going to be more of the elite stuff.
And that's why they're called Pro. They are made for the professional market, people who are doing computing for a living.
And when I bought my computer, I mean, I got a MacBook Pro, I really was going back and forth whether to get the Air or the Pro, mm-hmm. and I chose the Pro today. But if I would go back, I mean, if I had to buy it today, mm-hmm. I probably would get an Air.
Because I chose the Air.
Well, not because I don't like my MacBook Pro, mm-hmm. but the price difference at that time was no price difference.
Right.
It was $1,100, $1,200. It's not that big of a deal. But the new ones, you know, you're taking $1,500 to say $1,200. Mm-hmm. You know, that is a big deal.
Yeah. The new ones at the $1,800 price point have the new Touch Bar, which is a touch-sensitive function key. Take out all those function keys that you never use and replace them with a touch sensor that is very dynamic, changes the view based on what app you're opening.
Now, the one thing that programmers did not like about that is with the Touch Bar, you got rid of the escape key.
Yeah. No escape.
And so that's right. You are trapped.
You are trapped.
So that'll be interesting how programmers kind of react to that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Maybe they end up getting external keyboards when they're doing that programming, which makes...
Along with all the other dongles that you need, because this has 4 Thunderbolt ports.
Good grief.
And no other ports. So you have to have a bag full of dongles to get it from Thunderbolt to whatever it is that you want to get to.
Well, you know, that takes the elegance and makes it ugly.
There is that. But you can pick up the $2,400 model, and that one can power 4 4K monitors.
Good grief, man.
Again, this is for the professional.
I get it.
This is a computer that can be used for the most deep movie making in the sure. biggest studio.
Sure. And these are MacBooks. These are certainly not the capsule.
That's right. They did not update the capsule. They might, mm-hmm. but they did not in this presentation. Okay. This is almost as good as that capsule.
Now, I have an Apple TV, Steve. Is there any news for me there?
Yeah, you've got the new 4th generation Apple TV. So you've got a new app coming your way before the end of the year. They call it TV.
TV. It's a terrible name. I wonder where they got that
it's
from.
It's a terrible name. The Apple TV TV app is coming your way. It's a terrible name, but I think it's a really great idea. It is an app that aggregates all of your video across all of the different apps that are serving you video right now. Netflix, Hulu, ABC, CBS, NBC. All of those apps are now aggregated into one spot so that you have a list of shows that you are currently watching and maybe some suggestions for what you should watch next.
Sure. It sounds awesome.
Yeah.
And if we really think about it, that's one of the real challenges of having apps. And it's even a challenge of having menu level is to be able to get deeply in there to find the things that you're looking for.
This is coming out both for tvOS and for iOS. So you're going to have this app on your iPhone and your iPad mm-hmm. so you can have access to all of that video in one cohesive spot.
How wonderful.
I think that is a great innovation. You know, Apple innovating year after year.
Well, we did find a really interesting commentary about Tim Cook and Steve Ballmer. Basically, saying that they are very similar mm-hmm. On their approach to running companies. And I would recommend that if you have interest in learning more about it, to read that. Mm-hmm. But what they were saying is that both Ballmer, who had Gates, who was the person who ran Microsoft for so many years, and then, you know, with Apple, obviously, Steve Jobs is such a massive...
personality.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. In fact, he's going to be a caricature for many, many years.
Absolutely.
There will be cartoons that will be Steve Jobs.
Sure.
But both of these people were very innovative, but both Cook and Ballmer Ballmer made Microsoft incredibly profitable. Mm-hmm. And while they stopped innovating, and they seem to be miss a lot of areas, cell phones and basically where the technology ended up moving, you know, from music to cell phones and stuff like that, Microsoft fell apart there. Mm-hmm. What they're suggesting is that Cook may be in that same type of position with Apple, where the real innovations right now that are happening at Amazon and at Google mm-hmm. Seem to be passing Apple by.
Yeah, so, Apple is in a mode right now where they are not innovating. They are iterating. They're getting to the next generation just fine.
And incredibly profitable.
And incredibly profitable. And that's where this piece, you know, really looks at what's going on with Apple and how it might be okay. Apple might be okay. NPR is okay. They are podcasting, and they are one of the only groups making money at podcasting.
They are, and it may be because of how public radio and, you know, public broadcasting system, the, you know, a PBS and things like that are established, where they end up having sponsors for the content, as opposed to how, when I say free TV, CBS, NBC, ABC, work where it's commercial-based.
Mm-hmm.
So having sponsors may lead, you know, make it a lot easier to move those shows to podcasts.
So if there are any sponsors out there that need a podcast, we would love to have some sponsors and make some money like NPR.
Well, and in fact, this is through Adweek is where mm-hmm. it was originally put down. And what I would say is that this is something very important to follow
mm-hmm.
because as podcasting grows and matures, the ability to monetize it means that they're going to be able to have quality.
Right.
And that's one of the real challenges we have right now is that we have a lot of podcasts and you've got so much to go through. The cream's going to rise to the top and production values are going to have to go up and mm-hmm. blah, 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 blah. You can see how this will, this is basically how this industry will grow.
That's right. The industry that's not growing right now is the Vine on Twitter industry. Twitter has killed their Vine app after, what, 6 months, 9 months that it's existed? Maybe a year?
Vine?
Yeah.
Vine's been around for a few years. Didn't they buy it 3 years ago?
Is it 3 years already? Time flies so quickly when you're middle age, I tell you.
Well, all right. So Twitter is struggling with revenue. They're mm-hmm. trying to figure out a way to take their service and to produce some revenue on it. I still think that it works best like Reddit would work, mm-hmm. where it's just bare bones and let the people kind of make it happen.
Twitter seems to be going the other direction and adding
football
more and more
and
to
expensive
it.
Stuff.
Yeah.
All right. So Vine was bought, and Vine was a unique. And I want to say they spent $30 million.
Wow.
Maybe more. I can't remember exactly. But anyway, Vine is where Shawn Mendes, which is a pop singer who my kids love to death,
uh-huh.
who they have seen multiple times, but Vine started out where you could have 6 second clips.
Mm-hmm.
And Sean built an audience from there, along with a number of other pop people.
Mm-hmm.
And they were able to build what became, he was probably the most successful of them, a career out of it. I mean, he opened for Taylor Swift for her world tour, and now he's has his own world tour going on right now. But Vine obviously could not be very profitable. It wasn't profitable, and Twitter's going through money problems, so they're shutting it down. Could you imagine losing that type of money?
Wow.
Your son produced content for it.
Yeah. He had a few vines running at one point, sharing a little bit of production value there. It's so simple for the consumer to add information on there that, yeah, he went for it. My 10-year-old saw quite a few vines from some of these people that were sharing.
And typically they're humorous, they're short. I mean, you can think of them as short-term ads and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why Twitter just didn't just incorporate Vine into Twitter as just another part of its service.
And like, they might.
Well, in fact, if you think about it, you have these short statements, and that's what it's like a title.
Right.
Or maybe a quick commentary.
Mm-hmm.
But you could have a short video being the same type of commentary, but it just runs on Twitter.
Right.
On the Twitter.
On the Twitter. Speaking of middle age. Yeah. They might incorporate
on the Google.
We're on the line. No, online. Okay. Yes. They might incorporate it into Twitter. It might be rolled in, but for right now, there's no announcement of that.
Where it becomes more powerful, though, is when you have like Apple TV and the Roku and stuff like that have the Twitter app.
Mm-hmm.
Having short videos may also be worthy of their time. What can I say?
Mm-hmm. What we can't say is what the two computers at Google were talking about. This is the mind-blowing story of the week, in my opinion. Two computers, two artificial intelligence machines at Google decided to make an encrypted language to communicate together, and it's a language that they didn't share with any humans.
The machines are talking to themselves.
Yes, and we don't know what they're talking about. So we assume they're talking about us like a schoolgirl. We assume that they're talking about us.
Hello, Earthlings. You and your stupid languages.
Here's what we're going to do.
We're sending people back from the future.
This is getting to the science fiction fear of AI right now.
Arnold Schwarzenegger will be here any moment.
Yeah. Come with me if you want to live. Yeah. When the computers start communicating with each other and we don't know what they're saying, they could be up to something.
This one is Arnold Schwarzenegger and this one's McBain.
Right. Yeah.
And they are talking to each other and... You should be very frightened.
Yeah, at the beginning of that sentence when I said that the computers decided, that's scary in and of itself.
Well,
computers should not be making decisions.
And we can't unplug them.
Right. One of my students said, kill it. Kill it with fire.
Well, you know what? If Elon Musk has anything to do with it, we will not be able to kill it because he'll have constant energy.
Uh-huh, because they will be powered by solar cells. This is a science fiction story that I've read where the AIs are powered by solar.
All right, so this week we had a Microsoft event, mm-hmm. which we didn't really talk about. But anyway, Microsoft came out. Apple came out with their event, but it was all stolen away on Friday night.
That's right.
Because Elon Musk said, hey, let's go talk about homes.
Yes. He's got a long-term vision for what he wants to do. He started a company called Solar City, got that rolled into Tesla, and now Tesla is saying, what about having a power system on your roof, a solar-powered roof?
What we're looking at doing is replacing the shingles that are on your roof right now mm-hmm. with solar panels.
Right.
And he's got, I think it was four different styles. You had slate, you had like terracotta, you had traditional-looking ones. And then you had another type that was, they called it maybe a modern looking one, but it was very interesting because, the idea was your roof line would feed into these batteries. And they announced the big battery packs, the version 2 lasted longer and you could have unlimited number ones hooked up together. Mm-hmm. And they're $5,000 each. So, you know, what the idea is during the day,
mm-hmm.
you use your power that from the sun.
Right.
During the night, the stored power that you use from your shingles on your home mm-hmm. are going to run your life.
From those batteries.
And this seems, when I say futuristic, it doesn't seem so futuristic that you can't envision it.
Right.
So the real question is going to be, because they did not announce price, is going to be, all right, if you can redo your home, your roof for our homes, probably $12,000 to $14,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they came and said, well, Steve, you can do your home for $12,000 to $14,000 with these battery powered solar cells,
mm-hmm.
you're going to say, awesome, I'll do it.
Right.
But if they came to you and say, well, it's $100,000,
right.
you'd say, I don't know. This is not really ready for me.
Doesn't seem like there's value there. But it seems like a great idea, but it is a little futuristic.
So when the price is announced, mm-hmm. we can start making judgments. But the beauty of these type things, as we've learned from every piece of technology, as time goes on, the prices, relatively speaking, go down.
Mm-hmm.
When the automobile was introduced, it was a year's salary mm-hmm. by Henry Ford. That's what he priced it as, a year's salary.
When the Cubs won the World Series in 1908.
You can buy automobiles right now, a brand new one, maybe for $15,000?
Yeah.
$20,000?
Mm-hmm.
Now, it certainly isn't the Mercedes of the deal, but my point is that that's not a year's salary for a median family income. I think in the United States, in our county, it's
$72,000. Wow.
For King County, Illinois, which is outside Chicago. But, you know, for, I think for the U.S., maybe it's $52,000, $53,000. That's for mom and dad working with two kids.
Mm-hmm.
So that's median family. So if you could buy a car for $15,000, $20,000,
mm-hmm.
That seems like the relative price has gone down.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, we'll wait and see what the price comes in and how quickly Steve and I can join the future.
Let's invest in Tesla. Let's get it going. No doubt about that. I would love to have all this stuff. If they wanted to, you know, have a sample, this house be the
one that we could see. By the way, they're building these tiles in Buffalo, New York.
Okay.
So that was one of the other things. There's a part, I mean, not get too deep on it, but there's a cronyism part of Elon Musk and his companies,
sure,
in the sense that they work off a lot of subsidies. They haven't proved that they are profitable yet. But the reality is that he is a visionary on this. And the point is that there could be that time where it flips over and there's enough of us using it that it becomes the norm. And he seems to have a very realistic vision of the future, of where we can go. And he seems very Steve Jobs-ish.
He does.
He seems very Jeff Bezos-ish, yep, with Amazon. And these are visionary people. I can't fault him for what he's attempting to do. And the benefit of society, if we can move to a system that is not producing as much carbon dioxide, that is using things that are very natural. I mean, it seems very similar to what Nikola Tesla wanted to do, the free energy type of project, that everything has energy.
He should name his company Tesla. Oh, he did. That's great.
Cool stuff, man.
I love it. I don't know, Chip. I think we have enough information to survive another week into the future. What do you think?
Only if we can come back next week, because, you know, the election will be going on.
And then maybe we won't survive after that, but we'll see. We'll see what happens next Tuesday. If you need more information, there's so many great ways to find it. You can give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-4104-TMS. Our email is toomuchscrolling@gmail.com. Our website is toomuchscrolling.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And every day of the week, you can find all the news that you need about the Cubs and the presidency on our news site, news.toomuchscrolling.com. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hasenblum.
We'll see you in the future.